Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action. Welcome to Control Point 1 in Krupka, Czechia. We're in an old mountain hotel, high above the city below, and exposed to a swirling wind. For the past 36 hours, the riders have been surging across Belgium and Germany, and the leaders are now approaching. In the early hours of the morning, we check the map to see when they'll arrive, and we awake to the smell of smoke drifting in through the hotel window.
Okay, so I'm up early. There's reports of wildfires near Décines, which is on the parcours, so I'm going to drive up there now and just check if I can see flames or the smoke. We can smell smoke here. I can't right now, but I could earlier. If that's getting any worse, then I will probably cancel the parkour.
An hour later, Anna returns with good news.
It was fine. There was a little like smoke in the air, but nothing serious. But actually, it was actually lovely. It was still dark when I set off, but it was, the sun was just rising. It was quiet. There were deer everywhere. So really beautiful landscape and lovely to see wildlife and everything. So yeah. I hope they enjoy it. We are going to warn the riders to watch out for the deer at night, though. We don't want any crashes.
There's a buzz of excitement around the control point. The first riders are due to arrive at any second, and a close group has been battling it out for the lead. Race reporter Ross has been glued to the action throughout the early hours, and now the two front runners are on the control point parkour, separated by mere seconds.
Robin Gemperle, who's been kind of tailing first for a long time, joined the park course at the top of the climb, so at the plateau, and then he's descended down the park course, and at the bottom has met Ulrich, who has come through the valley to the bottom of the park course as standard and started to climb up it. And they've now just intersected. Ulrich is heading up, and Robin, I think, has now turned around and is starting to head back up the park course. They're unbelievable how close they are together.
Ulrich arrives first, greeted by a round of applause from a small crowd. He's sunblasted and sweaty, but laser-focused on not wasting time.
Oh.
How are you feeling, man?
Well, the other guy was 1 minute 30 behind on the first big climb. So I thought we have to treat it like a race, no? Gone a bit all out. But, that's why we are here, no?
How did you feel when you saw Robin coming down towards you?
I saw that he was very close by all the night. I don't know if he actually slept. I slept 1.5-2 hours, had a bit of rest, which was actually good. And it was interesting to see from the start how far the whole field split it up. And it was exciting, like going north, going south, and was pretty interesting to watch on the map and see who's fast on what track. Was good fun.
Were you surprised to see him come down towards you as you were heading up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw that he crossed somewhere on the top, but I thought he will go down in the valley and then start the parkour. Like from the same where I started, he came down and greeted, and I was like, yeah.
And is it still just a race for yourself, or are you, is it a race for a win?
Well, it's still for my for myself. I mean, I'm out there all the time alone, and it's not that often that you meet like other racers somewhere on the track, and you start feeling like racing with people. I mean, all the time you are just on your own racing against like a virtual thing. So.
And what's your plan for the rest of today?
Going to the Alps. Going to the Alps, really looking forward to it. Going to Bavaria, where I come from, and really looking forward to ride there.
Yeah, when do you think you'll next rest?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will try to rest every night, at least a short rest.
You asked.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Robin?
The guy behind me.
Behind you.
Yeah, on the. On the top, on the last section of the first climb, he was 1:30 behind.
Mm. But do you know who he is? Have you heard of him before?
Who is he?
He seems to be a former pro when he was really young. Mm. He used to race like Criterions, the Red Hook Crit. I think he stopped racing as professional when he was like 17 or 18.
Oh, wow.
And now, well, we
I haven't started when I was 17.
Yeah.
We'll fill up the bottles.
Robin Gemperla arrives shortly afterwards. He's an unfamiliar name within the ultra cycling scene, but he's a rider with some serious pedigree. He locks his bike up against a bench and grabs a pastry that's been strapped to his handlebars. So how are you feeling getting to control point one?
I was really looking forward to getting here, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it took a long time until I finally reached it. Like the last 10Ks were quite, but it's a nice route, so that's fine. And I'm happy that I'm able to do it in the morning because it looks like it's getting warm now. Sun's coming up. I'm Robin.
Hey, Ulrich. You're crazy right, man.
Up to now, yes. same, yeah.
What was that moment like when you crossed over on the descent?
I think we only crossed because I did a mistake. Like, at first, I went, like, just hard. Like, I came from the other way. I don't know whether you saw that. Mm-hmm. Then I went just, like, half the way down. Then I went back, and I remembered that there should be hairpins. And I didn't do any hairpins, so I checked on my mobile phone, and yes, it was actually about three times the length.
So that wasn't your plan?
Well, it was my plan to go down and come back up again. Mm-hmm. But I did, like, not twice, but 1.5 times.
Oh, and so you went down, came back, and then went down again?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Like, okay. Luckily, I remembered that there should be hairpins. Otherwise, that would mean going all the way back.
Yeah. When you were planning the route, did you think of different options of how to do it?
No, I was sure that I was going to do it like that,
yeah.
Actually. I feel like it's not such a bad route, actually.
Everyone's been talking about Ulrich before the race and expecting him to be arriving here first.
Yeah.
You're right behind him. What's your background in
cycling? Well, I'm actually coming from cross-country mountain biking. I've been not too bad at that. I rode for Scott SRAM. Some might mm-hmm. know that team. Mm-hmm. Like Nino Schurter, Thomas Frisch, like those mm-hmm. kind of guys. And then I got fed up with it and wanted to do other stuff. Started studying architecture. That's what I still do. And like parallelly did retro crits, mm-hmm. fixed gear racing. And always like with fixed gear racing, I also started fixed gear bike packing. Yeah, then somehow I noticed I'm not too bad at that. I'm like really comfortable with being dirty, being tired, and So my friend Julian, he told me to sign up for Transcontinental, and I was always like, no, I'm fed up with racing after retro crit, which is obviously something totally different.
How does this kind of racing, ultra-distance, self-supported, compare to what you were doing before?
Like maybe what helps is, I don't know whether I'll be able to hold up that pace now. It's just, I'm going all out. I'll blow up or I'll continue like that. And probably that attitude comes from, it definitely comes from fixed gear racing. Yeah. It should not come too much from cross country racing, because you should be professional enough to pace your effort there. But still, just like going all out is definitely coming from my back. Wanted to sleep a bit more, but I didn't sleep well. And then I woke up and I noticed the others are starting to get going again, so I want to get going as well, obviously.
And you love your number 22, Fixie, right?
Yes, saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, why are you not writing it here?
I want to race. I want to like be compatible, and you're not capable of doing that on a fixed gear bike.
Just quickly, what's your plan for the next leg to Control Point 2?
I believe there's others now getting faster. Pretty sure there's others getting faster. So if I can stay in that region, stay in touch with let's say the top five guys. No, I actually want to stay where I am now. I want to stay for a second and just see what happens.
Yeah.
With his brevet card stamped, Robin raids the hotel's outside cafe bar, not missing the chance to load up on calories for his battle at the front of the race.
Three. And maybe some food.
Drink.
You have Coke Zero?
No, we have only Pepsi.
Pepsi Zero?
No, only Pepsi. you need
zero.
Some sugar now.
No, I tend to get tired after the sugar flash. And no, well, still I get the normal Pepsi, that's fine. I tend to buy alcohol-free beer. Like, I feel like that's best thing ever on long rides. You have alcohol-free beer? No.
Yes, we have.
You do? Can I swap that?
And it was the second one?
I guess so. Yes, of course, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Robin cracks open his beer, spraying the contents everywhere like a rider on the podium.
Yeah?
Popping the champagne already, Robin.
Krupka is located in the Ore Mountain mining region of Czechia. A 120-kilometre section of road takes riders in a horseshoe-shaped tour of this UNESCO World Heritage Site. This mandatory section of route is known as a parkour.
A parkour is a section of route that we mandate on the race. So most of the race is obviously free route for the riders to choose their own route. But a parkour is a section of mandated route, and it's usually close by or attached to one of our control points. There are a variety of different things we try to achieve with the parkour and control points. We want to take riders to some famous climbs in Europe, famous cycling climbs in Europe. We also want to take riders to new places that maybe are not so well known. Obviously, we'd like to choose really beautiful locations that are a joy to ride through, with some, you know, amazing scenery, you know, interesting local traditional kind of towns, or something that really kind of speaks of the history and the culture of the area. Krupka is, you know, not particularly well known for cycling, but I know that, you know, people from Dresden love to go down and cycle in that area, so I think it's a bit of a kind of hidden gem. We worked with a local cyclist who's, you know, organises Audax in the area, and he helped us kind of select some of the most fun, interesting routes in the area to join together to make the parkour.
Around 5 hours after the leaders, last year's winner, Fiona Kolbinger, is the first woman to arrive at the control point.
Fiona, you're currently sat in the top 10. How's your race been going?
Oh, am I in the top 10?
Yeah, really? You're 10th.
Oh, cool. Good, actually. I checked the tracker, and it seems like I'm the only one who did the southern route. What's going on there? I think I didn't lose that much time. I think I calculated and I slept 4 hours and it was really good sleep.
What was your thinking behind the southern route, Fiona? Was that just local knowledge?
Okay, look, I knew you would ask about it. And I think I could make up something like a smart explanation. I could talk about the fire and I could say, oh, I heard about the fires and I didn't want to go. Like, all of this would be a lie. I simply, for whatever reason, didn't check the northern route at all. I just didn't come up with the idea. I was ignorant enough. I don't know. Maybe it is, or it was, because I'm from Dresden, and we usually climb this. So there is this mountain range that we are currently in.
The Ore.
The Ore Mountains, exactly. And one of our exhausting kind of standard routes is going up, going down, descending, going back up. So it's like two climbs of the of the thing. And this is something that is so big in my head that this is like a major climb that I tried to avoid it simply. I'm glad I'm feeling good. Because otherwise, you know, it could be something like, I actually like to continue. I could also drop down and be at home in 3 hours. I mean, I have now done almost 1,000 kilometers. Usually by that point, something starts hurting. I don't know, it usually changes where it is, it's nothing terrible, but something starts hurting, and this time around there is nothing that hurts, and this is super cool. I hope it stays that way until I meet you again.
The layout of the parkour invites mistakes by tired riders. One of the race's youngest competitors, Josh Reed, was one of its first victims.
Josh!
Nah, I refuse.
No. What's been... What's been going on, man?
I've been doing loops of that hill.
Yeah.
It was the best ascent I've ever done. That, like, you know where you go down and then you go up the berg to go up this bit?
Yeah.
Like, that bit going down the bottom there, because I had to turn... I did that bit. And then turned around because I realised I hadn't done the bottom of the parkours.
Yeah.
So did that descent down there into town. It was like super smooth, like Italian tarmac, like.
Yeah. How did it feel to then have to head back up again?
Long, but I suppose I deserved it.
How's it been generally?
I started off all right up the Mur, and then my knee started playing up, my left knee, because I've got a new saddle, new shoes, new pedals, which is not a good idea for this sort of thing. So I was adjusting my cleats on the fly. That didn't seem to work, and then put my saddle down, and then it kind of worked. So after a day, it kind of eased. And then decided to pull an all-nighter in the second night to see if I can catch back up to people, got back to ninth, and then went bang.
Lights came off?
Yeah, and then just like, just long, long day of just probably not eating enough. They're like the service stations in Germany, they're all the same, and they're all lacking in foods that you want. It's either a schnitzel or like a dry croissant.
Yeah. What's your plan when you get to CP? Are you just going to blast through? Are you going to stop for a bit?
I've had 20 minutes of sleep so far, so I think I should go for a big nap.
Bloody hell.
And then just enjoy the rest of it rather than trying to race it as much.
Yeah, did you set off with the intention to race it?
Yeah, I would have liked to see if I could have done a top 10.
Yeah.
I think that's out of the cards now. Now, I've been like riding along and seeing different people from the race, like you guys and then other races. But then and then I ride closer and it's just a tree. I've been hallucinating like a lot with like just other riders and you guys.
Yeah.
Just seeing them in random places.
Hello, Tom here. Just to say, if you're enjoying this, you might want to check out our daily podcast where TCR veterans Karen Tosti, Becky Waters and Rob Quirk react to the latest race action and share some of their ultra cycling stories. It's worth subscribing to so you get the most up-to-date race action as it comes out, and feel free to rate the pod and leave a review while you're there. All the control points are run by teams of volunteers. Some are aspiring or veteran TCR riders, and many build a cycling holiday around travelling to and from the control point.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm the control point manager here at CP1. It's my second time volunteering at a control point, so this time as a manager.
And I'm Michaela, and I'm control point volunteer, and it's my first time here.
So most of the time we're just staring at a computer screen so far. We're waiting for the, watching the dots roll in, basically. So we'll receive the riders, they'll come in, we'll check them in on the system, get a time, write that on their brevet card, give them a stamp, and send them on their way. So other than that, being very tired. I think we're waiting a bit for the tsunami. It looks like there's a lot of riders coming in a few hours from now, so a little bit more chaotic then, but hopefully smooth. So. Yeah, where are
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's a very nice place. We have a nice view all around. It's a hill called Komáří Výška, and it's a mountain range, Krušné Hory. So, it's beautiful during the day, during the night, because we can see all the lights down, and yeah, it's like an old hotel that has been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, traditional and nice.
It's been exciting, I think, yeah, just getting the first rider coming through, like it, I don't know, there's a buzz about that, right? Yeah, it's great. I think all the riders have come through with, like, really good energy, like, everyone's excited and feeling good, so, yeah, I don't know, it bodes well for the rest of the race, so.
And they all look so good, like, yeah. I thought they would be tired or something, but they look very fresh, yep. Which is interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know, I just wanted to be part of it and experience the race on a control point, see the riders, see the bikes and everything. So yeah, just to experience it as a whole thing.
I'm never going to ride TCR. Like it's, I know my limits and this exceeds them extremely. But I think being a part of the community and be able to just facilitate an event, like just seeing people come through with smiles on their faces, like that's amazing. So I'm just in Berlin, so if I can come down here a couple of hours and hang out for a week, like, I get a rush from that, and yeah, being able to help the event run, like, keep it going year to year, I think absolutely second to, but yeah, I don't know, I've been watching Dots since I think TCR 2 maybe, so yeah, it's always been that thing, every year it rolls around, it's like, that's amazing, that's exciting, so yeah, given the opportunity to be part of it, I'm happy to, so. Are they here yet? Are they here yet?
Yeah, because yesterday we didn't know like at what time we can expect them. Like we thought maybe 4, maybe 6, and 8.
But yes, yeah. Like happy, just buzzing for that exact. Like if they're here at 4:30, that's fine. I'll be here, I'll be awake. Like, yeah. See it happen.
Third woman to arrive at the control was Mike Hall Bursary recipient Amrai Kuna.
Awesome.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
You having a good ride?
Yeah. My voice is so weird because I'm not talking to anyone. Do you hear it? It's like way lower than normal. It's always like this.
How's it been?
Quite good. I saw a wild boar running next to me on the meadow. It was really cool. It was so on high speed. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah. I'm excited to get to CP1. This is why I'm not tired at all.
That's great. Yeah. Have you managed to sleep much?
I was sleeping 3.5 hours last night.
Okay, yeah. Find a nice spot?
On a graveyard.
It's quite dark.
You did say you'd practice that.
Yes. It's just perfect because you get water. And I like to wash, I told you about it, like the sunscreen off my skin before I go to sleep.
Yeah. What's the riding been like? Is it, you know, the landscapes and everything?
I think my route was quite hilly, so I got a really nice descent just coming down to where the parkour starts. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, like really, really nice.
Yeah.
But I really do feel that I've been working with the legs a lot, like especially uphill.
Yeah.
Yeah. The knees. But not too bad.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm confident that it's working out somehow.
Yeah.
I do have really bad saddle sores already.
Oh.
And it's only day 2. Like, is it day 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, but you do suffer a lot. I mean,
yeah, but that's part of it.
Part of the time you think it's great, and then the other part you think it's just like, why would you suffer that much for free? Like, by choice. Yeah, but it's nice. Yeah.
Cap number 136, Rose McGovern, is back for her second transcontinental. And reaching the first control point gives her time to reflect on her ride, bringing some strong emotions to the surface.
I did transcon in 2016, and I'd never, you know, ridden on a mountain. And I did it because I wanted to travel on a bike and didn't think I could do it. And I didn't really know what the race was about or anything. Since then, since 2016, I've taken my bike all over Europe, done transcon, I've gone solo tours, I've gone to Morocco, just reflecting on all the stuff that the race kind of gives you, you know. I don't know, my friends, like the whole community of lovely people, and yeah, how cool it is to be able to cycle and to see places.
Yeah, it's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the parkour that you've just ridden?
Yeah, beautiful. Really, really just quiet. It's why we ride bikes, right? To see places you don't see. And they haven't got to be Thailand or Asia or far away. It could be a local country that you wouldn't normally see, and people that you wouldn't normally see, and a view of a factory in a city that, you know, it's those things that you miss, I think, when you go to holiday resorts or you follow the guidebook. It's just this off-beat track, tranquility.
Yeah. And how does that goulash taste?
Really good. Really, really nice. I was 8 minutes late, so I'm very happy to have got it.
The first pair to arrive at Control Point 1 were the French team of Stéphane Awaja and Théo Daniel. Pre-race, they'd set their sights high, so Ross got up with them to see how they were getting on.
How are you doing? How are you both doing?
I'm just pissed off because we took on the wrong way, but that's part of the race.
Yeah. You guys had a pretty tough first day. What was going on?
Yeah, it was very tough. The temperature went up to like 40 degrees. It was so, so hard. We struggled to move forward. Theo had some knee issues, and I had some stomach issues. I couldn't hit anything. We were just crawling from gas station to gas station. We had to stop quite early. We missed whole goal by like 80 kilometers. So today was a better day. We had a nice recovery last night. We found an hotel, we could eat. We took a long break, like some 6 or 7 hours. And the whole day was a lot of climb, and basically we feel that we missed the best route. The North Pass, where everybody went through Dortmund like this, they had more benefit about the tailwind that was quite strong. We didn't expect that the flat route, the a little bit longer, would be still be faster than ours. So now we are here today. It's quite late now, almost 10 p.m. and we expect to move after to CP1 and after. So it's still a long night to ride.
Okay, and are you still friends?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no problem. it's tough sometimes, but it's part of the game of riding as a pair. So we keep going because we still have a longer route tonight. Okay. See you later, guys.
Okay. Ride well.
Thank you.
A cornerstone of the Transcontinental is the spirit of trust and fairness shared between all its riders and organisers. Cap number 25, Magdalena Fellinger, exemplified this ethos while tackling the Control Point 1 parkour.
I met David now, so I'm talking to him, so everything's all right. Yeah, thank you for calling back. Yes, I just met him by chance. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
So I thought I was being really smart coming from the north, mm-hmm. And then having to go this parkour down, like this part down,
yeah,
and up again.
Okay.
And leaving the bag with my sleeping kit mm-hmm. on top of the hill, so I wouldn't have to carry it up and down. And then I was thinking about it, and then I thought, maybe that could be seen as something cheeky,
yeah.
or maybe even worse.
So we definitely recommend that you don't discard any kit anywhere if right. there is like a down
exactly.
and up.
So,
but you've come to us, you've told us, so we'll like note it. It's not like a, it's not a serious offence.
It's not
or anything.
An expulsion.
Like, oh God, no. It's definitely okay. not that. Yeah, yeah. So we can just make a note of it on your little rider card okay. that we keep and stuff, and we can think about it later. Okay. But like, don't worry too much about it now.
Okay.
Just continue the ride. But for future reference, always keep your bag, like your bike like, fully loaded throughout.
Yeah. The other thing that comes with it is that of course my tracker was in the bag as well.
Ah.
So this part of the route is not
tracked
on the tracker now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe I should just take it and go down again.
You might have, you're going to have to do that because otherwise it won't show you as having completed the parkour.
Exactly, yeah. I would only have it on my own computer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's probably not enough, I guess.
Yeah, I would, given that you've discarded a bag and left the tracker there, I would recommend getting it going back.
Yeah.
Coming back up again, for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much for stopping for me.
No worries.
Yeah.
In the next episode, we'll be heading into the mountains. The race turns violently southwards, heading directly for the Alps, where huge climbs and cold temperatures are going to test the riders' bodies and minds as they battle to arrive at control point 2 on the Passo Gavia. Don't forget to send in your questions for the TCR Chat podcast by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the Alps. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.